Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Buds podcast. This is episode number 35, and my name is Henry. This week, I'm honored to be joined by composer Rutger Hudemakers, known for his work on the recent Hulu series No Man's Land, as well as the Icelandic crime series Trapped, and many others. Rutger, it's so nice to meet you. As I was telling you before, I've really enjoyed your work for a long time now, so thank you for being here.
My pleasure, and nice to meet you as well.
Thank you. First of all, how are things going for you these days?
They're interesting times for sure. I actually moved at the beginning of this pandemic from Berlin, where I've been living for about 13 years, to Brussels in Belgium. Yeah. And moving countries in this time is not ideal, I have to say. So I'm mostly at home, and I've set up my studio in the apartment. So that's a bit of a strange way to be introduced to a new place. But it's challenging and fun at the same time. But
yeah, for sure. Well, I just kind of kicking things off. I did want to ask, how is it that you got started with composing? Was music something you had always wanted to do?
Yeah, I'm not from a musical family as such. My brother and me are basically the only people in the entire family that are somewhat musical. So I started tinkering around with computers at a fairly early age, and I was just really interested in creating music with computers. So that's how it kind of started for me, and that was mostly the Commodore 64, and even more so the Commodore Amiga. When I was 12, I think my parents bought one of those, and that's when it just really started taking off. And it had an ability to use low resolution samples, and only four at a time, but so you had to be kind of creative in how to create little compositions. So I started messing around with that a lot, and became a part of the what's called the demo scene. So it was kind of this movement in addition to the hacker scene at the time, where people were just basically showing off their skills. So, you know, music, coding, the graphics, all kinds of things. And of course, that was not as advanced as things are at the moment, but there were all kinds of competitions for that. And, you know, there was like a family situation that I landed in and became a part of. And that's kind of how I got into composing more and more. So, some simple video games with some friends and all that kind of stuff, and from there just got involved with bands and with, you know, techno and all that kind of stuff. And it took me a long way to get to film music, but that's basically that was the start for me.
Who are some artists that you first connected with in terms of getting into, you know, interested in music?
I pretty much liked everything I heard. I was just so interested and infatuated with music in general. And I just always wanted to understand how certain things, especially in terms of sound, how certain sounds were made and how, you know, how arrangements worked. And I pretty much taught myself what a chord was. And, you know, of course I had some theory later also to back that up, but it was mostly just trying to figure out how it works. So I was listening to pop music a lot, of course, and my parents listened to classical music. So not so much jazz at the time, I would say, but that's something that I was interested, or I became interested in later. But mostly started with that, and, you know, anything from Michael Jackson to the Beatles to Depeche Mode, and also, you know, I went at some point I really got into the heavier electronic stuff, so a lot of techno and also the more melodic side of that, so, you know, Warp Records and Future Sound of London, Orbital, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. talking about some of your film and TV work. So Trapped, the crime series, which, man, if that is like such a great show, and that music is so, it fits it so well, and it's so, you know, chilling, and which of course, you know, really fits the setting and the story. How did you get involved with that project?
That was a bit of a stroke of luck, I would say. I was at the time part of a communal studio in Berlin that we actually recently had to give up because of gentrification, I would say. We lost our lease, but we had that studio for about 10 years. And that was a studio community where people like Johan Johansson were also renting a studio, and Hildur Gudnadottir. With both of those people, I did Trapped, of course. Dustin O'Halloran was also there, and a bunch of other people. And I was doing a lot of different things, just trying to find my way in music. And it was Dustin O'Halloran who actually told Johan that he should ask me for Trapped. And that was basically because Johan was asked to do Trapped, and it being in an Icelandic series, he was pretty much not allowed to say no, because at the time it was the biggest production they had ever done, and right. They really wanted him to score it. He was really busy with Arrival at the time, so he asked me and Hildur to help him out with that. And that was a break for me, because I really was trying to get more into film music. I was really interested in that, and I got a chance to work with two geniuses, because Johan was, but Hildur is fantastic at what she does, of course. And finally, we've seen in the last year that the world is starting to acknowledge that. So it's that was great. So I would say that was I was given a voice in it as well. So that was a beautiful thing, where it was really three minds coming up with the music, and you can even hear who kind of came up with which parts, and later it sort of melted into one sound. That's basically how it came to be.
Yeah. And also some of the other work that you've done, I get similar to composing or in that area, you've been involved with films like Arrival and Mary Magdalene as well. Mm-hmm. And which, I mean, of course, those are two great films. What is it that you were involved with? How did you, what was your part in those films?
So basically it was, when we finished the first season of Trapped, Johan asked me if I was interested to work on other projects with him as well. And of course, a lot of those projects, I wouldn't have the same liberty that I had on Trapped, because on Trapped, I was really allowed to be a full-on composer. After that, working on all of the films with Johan, was the role would differ depending on what was needed. So with Arrival, I didn't actually get into it until later in the process, because I was still finishing Trapped for the most part, where Johan was already working on Arrival. So I helped him on that specific project with some orchestra techniques. We were looking for like more avant-garde techniques to work with the orchestra to create certain sounds. So I worked on several of the pieces for that. And but that wasn't, my role was fairly small on that one. Mary Magdalene, it was also another one of those projects where, whatever was needed, because it was just, there were so many things happening at the same time that, sometimes it's just play this, or it's work on this arrangement for a bit, and so it kind of goes all over the place.
Yeah.
And there were projects like Blade Runner that we unfortunately didn't get to finish, but where we worked on it for a full year, and it was just yeah, we went through the whole process of creating demos and creating sounds and doing crazy recording sessions. And no, it was, you know, I feel very, very honored that I have been a part of all of those things. So it's, and every project was also different in that sense that, you know, there wasn't a set method for where we would just do the same thing for each film. It was really like, what does this film need? Okay, you know, let's just go crazy and do four days of just improvised recordings and just see what we get out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you find that maybe, I guess, going between these different roles is kind of interesting in its own right, just the variety of, you know, sometimes being the composer, other times being a musician, you know, within the group? Do you find that that's kind of a cool variety for you creatively?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that goes back to what I was saying before, that, you know, when I was young, I was just so interested in trying to understand how does this all work and how can I also get to a point where I'm able to make something like that, you know, even a pop song, or in this case a score. It's fascinating to always change up your methods so that you can also teach yourself new things and you know, work with sounds that you've never worked with before, and also through collaborations you always end up with ideas that you would have never thought of on your own. You know, you can be the, I think Johan was also kind of a master at that. He was really good at just curating material. You know, he would always have a bunch of collaborators in each project and then just see what material you end up with and just making choices and starting to build arrangements from whatever is there. And that keeps it exciting. And I think I would get very bored if it was the same every time. I think that's kind of the cool thing about film music, that you can just mix it up all the time. And every director will also have their own requests, you know, whatever they're looking for, or the world of that the script is in, that the characters are in, will be completely different from the last project. So, you know, whatever that needs, that's what you're going to end up doing.
Yeah. And touching on Johan, when I was just first starting to hear his music, you know, going to his like Spotify page, for example, as you were just saying, the number of collaborators is crazy. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, he's, you know, so much variety, so many, you know, interesting collaborations. And that's I think that could be such an underappreciated thing. And he was an incredible.
I think he was, one of his strong suits was that he realized that he couldn't do it by himself and he needed other people to work on this project with. And he was very generous in allowing people space to not keeping them back and making himself into the boss. I mean, obviously he was, and it was his core. But he would always just let you fly for a bit and then together you would figure out, you know, what can we do with this?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Going back to more so your composing work, No Man's Land, which is a recent Hulu original series, which is a mm-hmm. like a kind of an action thriller series. How mm-hmm. did you get involved with that project? Was that because it's a pretty intense show. So, I mean, what was it like making the music for it?
That was a lot of fun. I kind of used a similar tactic where we while they were shooting it, I rented a church for 2 days. And I just brought in a bunch of metal guys, a guitarist and a vocalist and a bunch of other people. And we just, well, we were basically raising the devil for a few days in that church. And
right.
there were a lot of like retired people living around that church, and they would kind of come in and see if everything was okay, because they were hearing all these weird sounds coming from the chapel. They were looking for a score that was, you know, a bit more, I wouldn't say electronic, but just maybe a bit more industrial. The director is really, his background is really, he loves industrial music and mostly the 80s and 90s stuff. And, Einschütz and the Neubaut and Torben Gressel, that kind of stuff. And so we were looking for, a way to incorporate that into the score. So I figured if I just record some more extreme metal guys and just let them zone out a bit and then bring it back into a more electronic realm, that's kind of what we ended up with. And yeah, it was, I guess he was, he really liked a score I had done for a German film a few years ago, which was a low budget production that I just had to take, get favors from all of my friends basically to record it because there was zero budget for it. But that also ended up being a bit of an industrial score, which is not my background at all, but it is what came out of it. And we had a lot of fun making that. So he was hoping to, get something in that realm. And then, we were also really trying not to go into the Arabic sound too much. We have some sounds in the end that kind of give you a hint of where it's actually playing, but we never wanted to use Arabic or Syrian or even Kurdish music. But the furthest I came was actually using a skin drum that's on my wall here, which you can't see, but it's I ended up just playing, having, we had this trigger that you could hook up with MIDI, and I just used it as a drum computer almost, so
cool.
Played all these weird rhythms that a drum computer would normally do, but we used the skin drum for that, so that was cool.
Yeah, and was that the film that you were speaking on, was that The Last Berliner?
Yeah,
that, man, that is a powerful film.
Oh, you've seen it, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And now with, whether it's, Trapped or The Last Berliner or No Man's Land, is there something in particular about projects that excites you when you first see them? Is there something, and if not, if there's nothing specific, that's okay, but is there something that maybe excites you when you first get onto a project?
I mean, in the end, what I never thought about it so much, a few years ago, but I've really become quite sensitive to the quality of writing somehow. And it just needs to be solid. And if the writing's good, then the characters are good. And then the emotional world of the characters, whatever the story is, it doesn't really matter. It's believable and it's something that you can connect your music to. And there can be a thriller, it can be a love story, it wouldn't even matter, but that needs to work. And I think that's for instance with Trapped and also with No Man's Land and even The Last Berliner, those are projects where the writing works and it's there's very little holes in it. And that definitely helps create better quality music. And I guess that's always what I'm after. That I don't think I would take on a project where I just don't believe in the script.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, writing will kind of lay the groundwork. So if you don't have that, absolutely, steady, you're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly.
Well, are you someone who watches many movies, TV shows on your downtime?
I watch a bit, yeah, but at the moment more than other times, of course.
Sure, but yeah,
because it's also just nice distraction. It depends a bit, because when I was working on No Man's Land, for instance, I wouldn't watch too many series because my head was already so in it, and I would watch a movie once in a while. But at the moment, I'm watching a bit more series again, which is that's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I try to keep up a bit, but yeah, there's only so much that you can watch.
Yeah. And I think it's makes sense. I mean, depending on your work schedule, I'm sure that kind of goes in and out. So
exactly.
Yeah. I did want to briefly touch on this compilation album, Ambient Layers, mm-hmm. that you were involved in. What's that? How did that project come about?
That's on a label called 7K, and that They are based in Berlin. So I am friends with some of the people who are on that label, and I was asked by the guy who was putting together the compilation. But yeah, we were looking for something to do together for a while, and yeah, so you know, there's friends on this compilation as well. So it's kind of a, yeah, it's almost like a family affair, I would say. You know, that's kind of, and it was a nice goodbye for me from Berlin, because that was kind of happening when I was leaving, and so it's kind of a nice way to end my time there. And I think, you know, they were interested in also having one of the pieces of my upcoming album, which is on a different label, so it's going to be on Fat Cat. But since that was already planned for them, you know, we decided to. I created a piece in lockdown, yeah, it's a piece specially made for this compilation.
Right. Yeah, and other people I've talked to, I mean, I think for better and maybe for worse, this, you know, lockdown is causing people to like, are being like forced to create something to stay sane, yeah. You know? So you're amongst good company there.
Yeah. Although that's, you know, it's a weird thing. I've actually been talking to some fellow composers about that, you know, we have all this time and we feel like we have to be productive. But at the same time, it feels so strange to be this productive right now, because, you know, we don't even know where things are going at the moment. And yeah. You know, you're constantly battling your own, I don't know, like anxieties, I suppose. But you know, it's great. And I've actually been spending a lot of my time just writing solo music at the moment.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good time for it.
Is there much of a difference for you in the process for doing solo music as opposed to film music? I mean, obviously with film or TV, you know, you're seeing footage and things like that. But in terms of writing, is there much of a difference, or is it fairly the same thing?
No, it's. Yes and no, I guess. But the biggest difference is that, you know, whenever you do film music, as much as I would like to take all the credit for it, in the end I'm scoring somebody else's vision, and you know, it always starts with a director or a producer who have an idea of what they might not be able to put it into words exactly at what they're looking for, or you might have, you know, another suggestion that they end up going with because they really like it. But ultimately, it's their work, and you're a part of that, and you know, you're at somebody's service, and of course, it's, you know, it's a dialogue, and you do it together. But whenever I write solo music, that I'm fulfilling all of those roles, and you know, I have these dialogues with myself, and often too long, and
sure.
But yeah, that's the difference. And also, you can go in every possible direction. You know, if you're working on a film or on TV, the people, the producers and the director will tell you what the scope of your musical realm will be. And in the case of my solo music, I can do whatever I would like. You know?
Yeah.
Which makes it easier and harder at the same time, but. But that's, yeah, I would say that's the main difference.
Yeah. Well, Rutger, I mean, is there, really enjoyed talking to you. Is there anything else in particular about your work or anything coming up that I haven't touched on that you'd like to have out there?
Like I said, my solo album is coming out in March on Fat Cat Records. That's something I'm very happy with, because, yeah, I was working on that for so long, and, you know, I'm very... very happy to finally have something to my name that is really mine again. So that's it's at the moment I'm just focusing on that and getting that out into the world, and so yeah,
we'll see
what this year will bring for all of us.
Yeah, let's hope it's a better one. You know,
yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, Rutger, thanks so much again for taking the time. I mean, you're welcome back whenever you'd like. If, you know, something comes out down the line, you know, you're welcome to come back and but yeah.
Lovely. That's nice to hear, man. Thanks.
Yeah. And yeah, please, you know, just, you know, stay safe. And, you know, I hope to see you again sometime soon.
Same goes both ways there.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too. All right, everybody. I think that is about it for the show this week. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe on your way out. Thank you very much. You can also follow the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Music Buds. Check out themusicbuds.com. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, and we'll see you next time.